I've known Jeff for years, so I've always admired his work, and now that we get to work together on projects, it's even more exciting. So, although this isn't a project that I involved him in, so it probably turned out a little better than usual. The project I'm going to talk about is some preliminary work that we did with some folks from Nevada to come up with a scheme for biochar use in their state. And I'm not terribly excited about the results, but they do actually lead to something bigger and better that we're going to be working on starting next year. And so hopefully I don't bore you to death with this presentation. So the title of the talk is Pinyon Pine and Juniper Biochar Application to 4 Eastern Nevada Soils. And so let me give you a little bit of a background as to why we did this. Well, if you look at this picture, it looks really nice. I mean, actually, Nevada is a really beautiful state. It's very mountainous. But one of the issues facing not only Nevada but the western U.S. is pinyon pine and juniper encroachment. And so this is because of fire suppression. And so typically pinyon pine and juniper grow on these ridgelines, but due to fire suppression over the last 100 years, they've actually encroached. And you can kind of see this where the pinyon pine and juniper mix have moved down into the lower parts of these valleys into agricultural areas, so grazing lands and actually some center pivot areas. And so the problem is it's like in any forest condition that we have in the western U.S. or in the U.S. in general. When you suppress fire, you tend to have overgrowth, and then when you have fire, it can be really, really severe. And this came up a couple of years ago, like what can we do with this material instead of just letting it encroach? And one of the solutions to this is mechanical mastication. So coming through, chopping, wood chipping, and leaving the pine chips or the bark chips or what have you on the soil surface. And can we use that for something more beneficial than just removal? And so I was approached because somebody knew I was working on biochar with Jeff and Kurt and a whole bunch of other people. And they said, well, Jim, what can you do? And I said, well, are you interested in biochar? And they said, yes. And I said, well, let's see if we can tackle this problem. And it's really interesting because the problem affects like 20 million acres in the western United States. So it's not a little problem. And so we said, well, what can we do? Can we make biochar from these materials to help the soils in the region? And so this is what we did for the project. I worked with a number of entities in Nevada, and they chose 4 soils that they wanted me to work with. You can see the soils they're pretty aridic, and if it wasn't for irrigation in this area, nothing would grow. And so we chose 4 soils, 2 soils from an area called the Southern Nevada Water Authority. This is some property owned by the Southern Nevada Water Authority. Two soils that are in relatively close proximity to one another. Then we chose a soil from an area called Diamond Valley. This is an area where alfalfa is grown on center pivot. And then we chose a 4th soil called Ruby Hill. And this is an open pit gold mine. And I call it a quote soil because it's really not soil like you and I are used to using in agricultural settings. And so what I should have done, if I wasn't on forced vacation for 2 weeks, I probably would have revamped the title of this talk to the effect of pinyon pine and juniper biochar to 2 eastern Nevada soils. So what I'm going to do today is I'm going to focus on these 2 soils in the upper left-hand corner. The Diamond Valley soil, when the people I worked with chose this soil for this project, they chose the soil from an area in this field that was devoid of vegetation. And they said, and this was, I'm sure many of you have heard this, that there's the magic of biochar. The biochar is going to solve all of our problems. Well, they wanted biochar to solve a problem that's unsolvable. The soil that they obtained for this project had an electrical conductivity of 30 decisiemens per meter. And, really nothing's going to fix that in this area. And salt's a major issue in Nevada. And biochar is not magic. It's not going to fix that problem. So I'm not going to show you the data for that. Some of it's interesting, some of it's not, but for the most part, it's not. And then the Ruby Hill soil, this is quote soil that we worked with that was excavated from the bottom of this open pit gold mine from about 750 to 800 feet below grade. And it's basically devoid of life and devoid of nutrients. And biochar, again, is not magic. It's not this biochar or these biochars in particular didn't solve the problem of trying to improve the soil in terms of nutritive value. So I have some data that I'll show you, but I'm not going to show you all the data because it's relatively boring. And it didn't perform any magic. The soils are from relatively the same area in northeastern Nevada. The soils receive, on average, about 12 inches of rainfall that almost exclusively occurs from September to April in the form of snow. And so if there's no irrigation in this area, there's no crop growth, basically. It's just not going to happen. So this is what we did. We took these four soils, and we said, well, I calmed them down. I said, let's don't take this to the field right away because we don't know what's going to occur. Let's do a pot study, come up with some ideas, and then take this further. And that's kind of the direction we're going. So we took these four soils. We separated pinyon pine and juniper in the field because, we really didn't know how they would act or react in these soils. We kept them separate. They were pyrolyzed at 500 degrees C, actually at Jeff Novak's lab in Florence, South Carolina. And then we applied at 0, 1, 2, and 5% by weight. So that's equivalent to 0, 10, 20, and 50 tons per acre, roughly. We're not talking about small application rates. Everything was replicated four times. It actually was randomized, even though if you take a look at this picture, it doesn't look randomized, and it's not randomized because of the picture itself. And then this is what we did. We destructively sampled these pots over time, over a four-month period, and we sampled them for a number of different constituents, and I'm just going to talk about several of them. Nitrate, nitrogen, pH, and electrical conductivity. The people in Nevada were concerned that the pH would change. Available micronutrients, soil moisture content, and then at the end of the study, we did this big germination test with alfalfa. And why don't I just jump into the results? And so this is the theme. I'm going to show you a bunch of results up front, and then I'm going to cut back the number of graphs per slide. So you're overwhelmed now, and then it will hopefully not overwhelm you in a couple minutes. So this is the general theme. So this is soil number one for nitrate nitrogen. If you go from the top left to the right and then the bottom left to the bottom right, this is months 1, 2, 3, and 4 for soil nitrate nitrogen. And then the theme is on the x-axis, we're looking at pinyon pine biochar at the 0, 1, 2, and 5% application rates, or juniper biochar at 0, 1, 2, or 5. And then on the y-axis, obviously the element of concern or the constituent of concern. And the take-home message here is that you really don't see that much of a difference between the two different biochars and how they affect soil nitrate nitrogen dynamics over time. For the first 3 months, we actually didn't see any differences within either pinyon pine or juniper, and in some instances, juniper was greater or less than pinyon pine, but for the most part, they were equal in terms of their how they affected soil nitrate nitrogen. You can see in month 4 for pinyon pine biochar, there were some subtle differences, but for the most part, there's really not that much exciting news to tell you. In contrast, and we thought this was rather interesting, so this is soil number 2, and in almost every instance, we see a difference in the impact biochar had on soil nitrate nitrogen dynamics. And I say this is interesting because these two soils, the previous slide and this slide, these two soils were taken in relatively close proximity to one another, within 2 miles of one another. They're actually from the same soil association. If you look on the soil series or soils map, but they act differently for whatever reason. And this reaction of the soil to biochar is more typical of what I've noticed over the last 5 years. That biochar typically causes a decrease in soil nitrate nitrogen. And so from data like this, we try to tell these people that I'm working with what's the sweet spot in terms of the application rate of biochar. 5 may be a little excessive. 5 tons or 50 tons per acre may be a little excessive. If we look at pH, I'm not going to go into all the details. We do see some subtle differences. But these people that I was working with, they were worried about major increases in soil pH with biochar application. The soils, you can see, run slightly alkaline. The pH of the biochar, I didn't show you this, but the pH of the biochars we were working with were close to 8. And regardless of application rate, we only see maybe a tenth to two-tenths of a pH unit increase in pH over time. Not enough to really be of concern. I don't feel professionally. Electrical conductivity, this is for the first soil, nothing very exciting except for this month two, and this was sort of an anomaly in several of the soils we work with. We actually saw or observed a slight decrease in salt content in the system. I should mention that the pots that we used were lined, so we didn't have leaching occurring, and they were entirely destructively sampled, but nonetheless, we actually saw some effect of biochar on salt content. Unfortunately, it was short-lived, but there should be a paper coming out that deals with this concept relatively soon. I know because I reviewed it and I can't remember the name of the journal, but it's still interesting that perhaps biochar may have an effect on salt content in soils. Let's talk about available nutrients real quick. In this system, we noted that when we applied biochar, iron and nickel concentrations tended to increase. There was some plant available nickel and iron in the biochars that we used, but it wasn't magic. And in fact, we only saw maybe a 1 to 0.2% or 0.2 part per million increase with both of these elements respectively in the system. So it's nothing to write home about. But there are some really interesting things that are going on with some of the other micronutrients. For example, zinc. This is for soil number two, and we note that when we add biochar to this system that DTPA extractable zinc or plant available zinc actually decreases with biochar application. And so if you're a producer, that could be of concern. I guess in this soil, probably more of a concern is that for growing alfalfa in these systems, if you're below a DTPA concentration of zinc of 0.8, it could be considered deficient in zinc. And so if you look at the control, in both instances, for either pinyon pine or juniper, we're already below the zinc concentration. So in this case, biochar exacerbates the zinc deficiency. It could exacerbate that deficiency. This is manganese over time for SNWA number one soil. And if you note the trend, I'm not going to go through all the details, but the trend is when you increase biochar application rate, you increase the available manganese content. And this is really important. This is something we found in Kimberley, Idaho, with some work we've done in the field. And we feel this is important because if you grow, say, a Roundup-ready crop, sometimes when you apply Roundup, it can actually decrease manganese concentrations. And so biochar may play a role in offsetting that decrease in manganese concentration or available manganese in the system. This is, I'm almost done. So this is almost, this is the take-home message. This is what I've been pushing for the last 5 years in the arid western United States. The benefit of biochar and almost any biochar that I work with, this is the real benefit of biochar. And so what I'm showing you here are all four soils. This is data averaged over all 4 months. The percent moisture content, I should also say that it's averaged over both the biochars because they both acted similarly. The percent moisture content increase as you increase biochar application rate. And in almost all instances, we see an increase in soil moisture content. And that's really a key message in the arid western United States. This is my last slide. So the last slide is taking a look at the two soils, the top left and the bottom left. This is the soil moisture content averaged over all months as compared to germination averaged over all months of alfalfa in this system. And we ran a correlation analysis between these two data sets, and lo and behold, it's pretty significant, which tells you that this slight increase in soil moisture content equates to an increase in germination. And this may be really, really important in our arid western United States soils. And I'll stop there. Thank you.